Welcome back, everybody. It is time once again for a new episode of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I am CH Herms. He is Tyler Orzynski, and together we are going to talk about fantasy football. But specifically, we're going to get more into our conversation about some year two players and how dynasty managers should be valuing them ahead of the 2026 season. Also going to have some good application to redraft season and all that stuff too. So it's not just dynasty focus, but a lot of that lean is the direction that we're probably going to go in for this one. And we have some NFL news that we have to discuss. We'll get into that up top. AJ Brown, no longer on the Eagles. Where did he go? You're going to have to keep listening to find out, unless you have a smartphone, in which case you probably already figured it out. But that is what is on the agenda today. So, Tyler, how are you doing? And can you believe that we got two massive pieces of NFL news on the same day in the middle of the summer? Or not even summer yet.
Man, it's, I guess like one piece of the news was like, we're waiting for it, kind of knew it was happening, waiting for it to be official in the AJ Brown trade. I mean, I think anybody who's anybody kind of knew this was the case. It was like not a very well kept secret in the NFL that AJ Brown was about to be traded to the Patriots for a first. But we'll start there. Obviously, we've already kind of kicked it off, and you know, I think it's great. My thing is people are probably going to be shying a little bit away from AJ Brown due to his age, right? 29, a year 29 going into the season. But in my opinion, I think he has a lot to prove. He's one of those players where I'm not necessarily afraid of this age cliff that we see. Now, I've always been one to kind of embrace the veterans or embrace the dust, as some people would like to say here. I like accumulating older players when other people are out, but I only do that when I think the player or know the player to be elite, right? And I do believe AJ Brown is still elite. Things are not going well there in Philadelphia. That was absolutely apparent. You saw it everywhere, on the sidelines, amongst the players, not just AJ Brown. I just think he has a lot to prove by moving to New England. In New England, with an elite quarterback in Drake May, an ascending team, an ascending offense, needs an alpha to throw that ball to. They have a lot of wide receiver two, wide receiver threes on that team, but no alpha, and now they got one. So I'm a huge fan. AJ Brown in redraft, I think, is going to move up a bit. Like, clearly very interested. You know, if you're playing in one QB leagues or best ball, like that 2-3 turn absolutely is what I'm going to be looking at, probably a little later in those super flex leagues. But, you know, I'm very comfortable with AJ Brown. I'm not shying away this season. Am I going out and acquiring him, Herms? I'm not necessarily sure I'm willing to go that far, but I'm not concerned with his play, as I believe he has a chip on his shoulder and could absolutely explode here in 2026. Your thoughts, man? Where are you at on AJB in the trade?
I feel very similarly to you, and I think the thing that really encourages me the most is something that we saw on television during the NFL draft several years ago. So if everybody remembers, AJ Brown, when he was originally on the Tennessee Titans, it's draft day. They trade him to the Eagles, get that first round pick back. The Titans take Treylon Burks. And when they cut to the feed of the Titans war room on draft day, the look on Mike Vrabel's face, who currently the head coach of the New England Patriots, but was the head coach of the Titans, like, you saw his physical reaction to the fact that AJ Brown wasn't going to be on that team anymore. And I think that, above anything else, says everything to me, because like you said, AJ Brown is getting a little bit older. Obviously players slow down once they get to a certain age, but even when he's been banged up periodically over the last several years, he still goes out there and produces, and he is going to play for the guy who, I guess, seemingly has believed in him the most the entire time. So I think it's pretty good. I think the opportunity is very abundant for sure. But I do have a question for you now that Brown has landed in Foxborough. Do you still see the fantasy appeal for Romeo Doubs, who until this was basically projected as the de facto wide receiver one? He now shifts down in the pecking order a little bit, obviously, but I still think there's probably going to be some interesting opportunity for him. And I think that even though he's losing out on being the quote alpha, he is still, at least in my opinion, and I'm curious if you agree, he's still the second best receiver on this team by like a pretty clear margin in my estimation. So how do you kind of feel about the other pieces that are involved now?
Honestly, I was never really in on Romeo Doubs in the first place. He's just not a player that I've really saw as a guy who can separate. He's always just kind of been a dude in a wide receiver room that contributes. But for fantasy, like, the question really comes down to what has he really offered me on a week-to-week basis that's going to get him, you know, in my lineup and excited to be there. And that was not the case for how I was operating going into 2026. And it's certainly not the case of how I'll be operating now with AJ Brown into town. So if you couldn't separate yourself in the Packers room, which was full of a bunch of meh guys, right? You know, fine wide receivers, but nobody who was really good. What makes him special, man? I mean, is he better than, you know, your Kyle Williams, DeMario Douglas, Matt Collins? Sure. I think he's fine, but like, it's, you know, I think he's like, when I think of Doubs and what I expect, probably expect some output closer to like a Kayshon Boutte than I would AJ Brown. I think there's a huge gap between what we're going to expect from Doubs and what kind of where he's been drafted right now. He's not much of an interest to me whatsoever. He wasn't, definitely isn't now. Honestly, if I had to pick another pass catcher outside of AJ Brown, it would probably be Hunter Henry before any other wide receiver.
Well, that's certainly fair, and there is a reason why Romeo Doubs is currently being drafted as the wide receiver 50 in current underdog ADP. I'm sure that number is going to slide even further down now that AJ Brown is officially on the roster. Lots of interesting things to take away from that for sure, but the bigger NFL trade that happened today. Look, okay, it doesn't actually have to do with fantasy, technically, unless you play in an IDP format, this is not going to affect you. But it's such a cataclysmic move that it has to be talked about. Cleveland Browns, all-world pass rusher Myles Garrett being shipped off to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for fellow defensive end Jared Verse. I believe a 2027 first round pick, a 2028 second round pick, and then a 2029 third round pick. So it's a huge haul. It's very cool. Very happy for Cleveland. They are getting a ton of, you know, really good draft capital in return. Jared Verse, also a very good player in his own right. I think he's made like two Pro Bowls. Like, he is also a very, very good pass rusher.
Top 20 pass rusher in the league, no questions asked, for sure. Like, he's a good pass rusher.
Yeah, like, in some ways, the way that I've kind of talked to other people about it so far today is just like, you could argue that that's basically like getting another first round pick, essentially. If you want to look at it that way, you can. But I've had some people tell me, like, Verse is really good. I'm hammering at this for a reason. Like, he is really good, but I've had some people tell me, like, I don't know, like, is the gap between him and Myles Garrett like massive? Like, obviously there's a pretty big difference between being a two-time defensive player of the year and only making a couple Pro Bowls. For as good as Verse is, though, like, my mom knows who Myles Garrett is. My mom does not know who Jared Verse is. Like, to me, that is always kind of the test. And I just think it is so fascinating to see the Rams very clearly move all the chips kind of to the middle of the table. I do have some kind of concerns, some little qualms about more things surrounding this trade and the fallout from it, but I do want to turn it over to you first to get some of your reaction. How do you kind of feel about the Rams now? And if there are any sort of fantasy adjacent things that have popped into your head about this, definitely let us know.
Yeah, so I think it's a good trade for both sides. Like, I think we have this problem where we, like, always have to have a winner, right? We have to have a winner on the side of the trades, and it doesn't allow us to simply look at it like, oh, maybe this really was a win for both sides. Like, for example, like, I believe the Rams and the Lions trade with Stafford and Goff was a good trade for both teams. Like, Stafford needed to get off the Lions. He'd give everything he could to him. And the Lions got a lot back. They got a lot out of Goff. They got, you know, a couple first-round picks out of it. and both teams won. And I think this could easily be the case. Like, Myles Garrett was done being done in Cleveland. He'd given it his all. It wasn't happening for him, just like Stafford. He deserves a chance to go try and win the Super Bowl. Happens to be with the Rams once again, but like, he deserves it. Like, he is not going to win a Super Bowl in Cleveland. Like, he's just not, right? I think he's going on year 9, year 10 in the league. He's still got something left in the tank. I say he's got more than something left in the tank, but he's still got, like, you know, a couple years, probably 2-3 years of producing at a high level, in my opinion. So let him go out and try to get his. And I think the return on the investment was good. Like, again, his big contract, you know, a player who's not getting younger, but still some time left, very much like Stafford. It worked out well for both sides of this, man. And I definitely would agree with you. I was just having this conversation about, you know, over the last like 10, 15 years, like, has there been a better defensive player in the NFL? And the only name that I could come up with was Aaron Donald. That was it. Mm-hmm. In terms of like, hey, who's been like a more of a generational all-world defensive player? Aaron Donald comes into mind, and Myles Garrett. So I'm happy for both sides here. I think the funny thing here is the biggest loser of this trade is probably Ty Simpson, because I think we all kind of knew, like, you know, the Rams were pushing the chips in and the Rams were going to go for another Super Bowl here. But like, Ty Simpson's not seen the field till 2028 at best here, unless there's like a surprise. Because here's where I stand. I don't think you trade this for Myles Garrett if you only think you're going to get 1 year out of staff. I think True. They got a 2-year window here. And I don't think we're going to see Ty Simpson until 2028, if I'm being completely honest. And Stafford just won the MVP. He clearly is not showing signs of slowing down too much. Yes, injuries are stacking up, but when he's healthy, he's still playing at an extremely high borderline. Hey, Frank, I won't even say borderline. He's still playing at an elite level. So this trade signals a lot to me in terms of what the Rams are trying to do. And I think this just makes me feel better. While you said there's not a fantasy take necessarily from the Myles Garrett thing, this does make me feel better about, hey, I think we're going to get 2 years out of Stafford instead of one, because this isn't the kind of trade I think you would make if you really think you're only going to get one more season out of Stafford. So that's kind of like my biggest takeaway from a fantasy lens, is I think this window that the Rams are looking at to win a Super Bowl is really 2 years instead of one.
I can definitely see that for sure. I would be a lot more interested in the Rams kind of long term if we got a clear confirmation that Stafford is going to be around for more than just this year. I think really the only way in this scenario that you've laid out that he would even retire after this year is like if they just went out and won the Super Bowl again. Like, I think that would be kind of tempting, but otherwise, yeah, we're probably going to get another couple years out of it. And just so there is some sort of fantasy tie-in, I did think to myself, if they are clearly doing all of this, going all in, I look at their wide receiver room after Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, and some of the names, like Jordan Whittington, has been decent at times in the past, but we haven't seen a ton out of him. Kanata Mumpfield, I don't really know a lot about him. I think they brought in the rookie CJ Daniels, a bunch of guys like that. They don't have a ton.
It would be nice if they took Mekhi Lemon at 13, Herms. It would have been nice, man.
Dude, it would have been so cool. It would have been so cool to see them just like add anybody else of consequence. You know what I mean? And I look at it and I think to myself, there are still some free agents out there. Tyreek Hill hasn't signed anywhere yet. Steph Diggs is still floating around. I highly doubt an NFC West interdivisional trade would happen for Brandon Ayuk or something. But like, there are names. There are still names.
Debo Samuel's a name who I think could play in front of some of those deeper cuts you just threw out there. You're right, man. It's something I hadn't thought about, but I think you're right on the money. I mean, why not? Just roll out the dust, my man. Roll out the dust.
I really think that, like, obviously I don't have anything necessarily to base this off of other than just a hunch, but fantasy managers out there, just like, keep an eye on some of the rumblings around some of those names that we highlighted, because it wouldn't shock me if the Rams decided to kick the tires on somebody like that to make this a little bit more of a robust attack. But we have other things we have to get into in this episode, namely the second-year wide receivers and how fantasy managers should be treating them in Dynasty and a little bit for redraft headed into the 2026 season. So don't go anywhere. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast, and here is a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Watching sports is a very fun thing to do all by itself, but sometimes it can be even better when you have a little bit more on the line than just your regular rooting interest, if you know what I mean. But if you don't live in a state that has a sports book, how are you supposed to get in on all the action? Well, thanks to our friends at Novig, America's number one sports prediction market, people in over 35 states now have unprecedented access to all of the hottest plays around the world of sports. And better yet, if you sign up and make a minimum $5 purchase with code FTN at checkout, not only will you get to join in on all the Novig fun, but we will email you a promo code for a free month of a GOAT subscription for free. That's right, unlock our top flight subscription that gets you all of our premium content, betting models, and expert picks across the world of sports. If you've ever wondered what an FTN GOAT subscription would be like, this is a great way to find out. So all you got to do is go to Novig.us or download the Novig app. Give them all the information they're looking for, make a minimum $5 purchase, but make sure to include that code FTN at checkout to get in on the Novig fun and unlock a free month of our GOAT tier subscription for free for an entire month. Seems like a pretty good time if you ask me. So go ahead and sign up for Novig, America's number one sports prediction market.
Welcome back. This is still the Crossing Routes podcast. I am still C.H. Herms. He is still Mr. Tyler O. Tyler Roginski, and we are getting into, I guess, kind of like part two of our discussion, breaking down these second-year players. You have been writing an excellent article series over at FTNFantasy.com, kind of just going through and breaking down what's happening for a lot of these guys who were rookies in the 2025 class and how we should be treating them moving forward. So if you missed the last episode, we talked a little bit about quarterbacks. We talked a little bit about running backs. Now it's time for the pass catchers. And any conversation about the 2025 draft class, especially at the wide receiver position, has to start with Mr. Tetaroa McMillan, the reigning offensive rookie of the year. How are you feeling about him in the current state of the Carolina Panthers, and how should dynasty managers be treating him moving forward?
Yeah, so before I go, jump into Tet, like, you know, if you missed the last one, just a real quick 30-second here, well, I think this is important, right? You know, we've kind of like moved past the 2025 rookie class into the 2026, and I think sometimes that can be a bit of a mistake because we're not really reflecting on the value, and a lot of the times, second-year players haven't fully, you know, their value hasn't fully come to fruition yet. We haven't seen enough, or there's an injury, or that half a good season or half a bad season, and there's a story you can tell yourself. So in my opinion, there's always a buy or sell window open because some people are still going to hold on hope. Some people are going to come up and think they understand the value of a player, and it hasn't really settled yet. So that's kind of why I, you know, big picture, have been doing this kind of second-year interview. But with Tet, man, I mean, before the 2025 draft, he was my wide receiver one, like sitting in tier one alone. Didn't even consider Travis Hunter ahead of him or anything like that. I mean, the instincts, the production, the physical traits just pointed to a guy who's going to make some plays, right? He wins at the catch point, creates separation, not just with athleticism, but just being savvy in general. And I think when I look at what he did as a rookie, right, not a good offense. Like, I think we all can agree. Mm-hmm. And that, he's still in that offense, right? So can't change the fact there, but he finishes a wide receiver 15 last season, right? And I feel like it didn't feel like the wide receiver 15 because he wasn't necessarily like a really good start on a week-to-week basis. And those who rostered him like weren't loving it. But yeah, wide receiver 15, you know, the production was there. It didn't fully show up in the box score, but right now he's sitting at wide receiver 9 in my rankings. And I believe consensus has him around like usually around like 10 or 11 range. So it's tough to like call him a buy because I'm so close to consensus. But for me, I am leaning into buying Tet McMillan, not just because of the age, but really just buying into the talent and everything that I saw. Sure, maybe in the short term, things aren't going to be wonderful with the Panthers, but you know, we know situations can change. Talent doesn't. Two names that I, you know, in Dynasty that I would trade away for Tet straight up, Nico Collins and George Pickens come to mind. Much rather have Tet McMillan in the long run here as somebody who I believe showed everything that I saw and proved it in his rookie year, and the arrow is formally trending up. So, you know, when it's only one or two slots off consensus, Herms, it's tough to really call him a buy, but there's not a lot of room for error when you're talking top 12 in any position. So I did want to kind of, you know, stake my claim here and put my plant the flag and say, yes, I'm willing to acquire Tet McMillan as I still believe and saw everything I needed to out of his rookie season.
Yeah, and you know, I unfortunately don't really have a ton to add unless I want to go on a diatribe about Jalen Coker or something like that. Because when you look at the Panthers, like it's Tet McMillan. It's very much just Tet McMillan kind of by himself. And but if I were to kind of make a tie-in, though, something that popped into my head because of what we've talked about so far in the episode, because it's topical, and I'm sure a lot of people are looking at this A.J. Brown trade as like, okay, all right, he's officially on the Patriots. Now you can actually go out and move him. I went over to Keep Trade Cut. I decided to check out where they have Tet McMillan. Currently the wide receiver 9, and you look at, you know, some of the, you know, like pick values and stuff around him, there is like an early 2027 first, like those are worth their weight in gold, a bunch of things like that. But would you consider putting some sort of package together that would just get AJ Brown and a pick of some kind to go out and acquire Tet McMillan specifically? Because I think about it, and especially with the fact that the news has already gone down, the move is official, I think people would find that pretty appealing, especially for certain contenders that are looking for maybe more immediate production now versus a guy who's still in a growing offense.
Absolutely, man. I'm here for that. I do believe we're going to get a good season here out of AJB. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd go AJB in the first, but AJB in the second, give me Tet McMillan. Absolutely. You know, I think you're going to have to – I like the idea of capitalizing on some of the steam maybe that A.J. Brown's going to get, but I don't think we can over – like, I don't want to overstate his value because I still don't think it's going to be premier, right? I think he's more of a redraft short-term asset here. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, I think he's going to have a great year this year, but I also am concerned, you know, for the years going forward. So A.J. Brown in a second, yeah, I'd move that in a heartbeat to get Ted on the team. But first, though, nah, I think it's a little too much.
Definitely a little bit rich, but maybe that type of compensation would be more appealing if you were to send a trade out with AJ Brown and a pick for our next player on the list. Why don't we get into some chatter about Mr. Emeka Egbuka from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Tale of two seasons, right? Again, like not to Victor lap too much, but I also had Egbuka ahead of Travis Hunter. Anyways, yeah, I mean, I was a huge fan. I mean, I literally went back and looked at my article and said, one of my most rostered players this far after rookie drafts is Emeka Egbuka. He's always here at the 108. Let's get something out of the way. I have zero concerns about Jalen McMillan. He has it in him to be locked and loaded top 24 as in Egbuka. He has it in him to be a locked and loaded top 24 wide receiver for years to come. Might have even been a little too low calling him a locked and loaded top 24 wide receiver. But again, the season, you know, two halves here. First half was electric, transcendent even, right? We thought we had the next league winner. And the second half raised some flags. And Mike Evans is out of town. He's going to get his second year here. I've met wide receiver 12. I believe that's right around consensus. I don't think I have an need to go out and be aggressive to buy and make it Egbuka like I do for Tet, right? Just because the second half of the season did leave some questions as things were not good. I mean, you can blame some of it on Baker, but honestly, it was a tale of two seasons for sure. So he's more of a hold. You know, if you can obviously move like AJ Brown in a pick form, go ahead, please do. I certainly would do that. But Darryl's pointing up. I think the situation's improved with Evans out of town. Talent's not the issue here. I just think you might need to be, a little patient. But yeah, I mean, I love Egbuka, but he's not a guy that I'm going out acquiring. So I do think his price is right. Right. What does Keep Trick Gut have him, like 12-ish? It's got to be up there.
Right behind Tet at wide receiver 10.
Yeah, see, that's even a little rich for my blood a bit. Like, honestly, like I'm not selling him because I'm a little bit low, but I'm not there. Who are the three wide receivers below Egbuka right now?
Okay, so behind him at 11, 12, and 13 in order goes Carnell Tate, George Pickens, and then Garrett Wilson. For context, though, the next asset listed, because I have the view, well, you can click the little buttons. I have the receivers and the picks. The next asset on the list is a mid 2027 first, just for context.
Yeah, I mean, Carnell Tate, he should be down like 5 or 6 spots. I mean, I like Carnell Tate, but let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. Garrett Wilson or Igbuka is like a good, that one, I don't have like a snap call there, man. Ooh, like that's a good one. I think I'd probably lean Pickens, I'll be honest, over Igbuka, but it's close. But yeah, I mean, we're splitting hairs here. I don't want to go too deep in the weeds here, but he's a hold for me. I think that price is a little rich, but I'm not selling him, I guess I'd put it that way, as I don't want to miss. What we saw in the first half of the season, I can't get that out of my head, man. It was elite. He was like wide receiver 6 through the first half of the season. So I'm ready. I'm strapping in, dude. I got him on majority of my dynasty teams, and I am thrilled about it.
Yeah, I wish I had more, but as we talked about last summer, any opportunity I had to draft Igbuka, I just drafted Jaxson Dart instead. So I don't really have very much exposure to him, unfortunately. But at the same time, though, I think the biggest thing that Igbuka has going for him, just to add a little bit of color quickly, when you look at the team situation, you've already mentioned that Mike Evans is gone, and obviously Chris Godwin's still around. There are still other talented playmakers on this team, but I'm encouraged by the fact that Zach Robinson, the former offensive coordinator from the Atlanta Falcons, is coming over and implementing an offense that I think is probably just going to throw to the running back a lot. Yes, it's Herm's talking about Kenneth Gainwell again, but I think it actually benefits Igbuka greatly that probably the third, quote, leading receiver on the Bucs is going to be coming out of the backfield in 2026. At least the way that I think the offense is going to work out, it's always good to avoid other guys at receiver or tight end taking that kind of work away from you, because obviously, like, we always worry about, like, oh, well, is this guy going to take away from that guy? Well, if you're playing different positions and getting different types of targets at different parts of the field, it is, you know, like, there's not always a ton of, quote, overlap. So at least in Igbuka's case, he does have a slightly more solidified role, which I am pretty excited about. There is a lot of excitement there, but we could go in a couple different directions with this one. There are two guys that we definitely need to talk about for this one. I'll let you go, dealer's choice. Who is the next name on your list that we want to discuss in these second-year receivers?
The next name is Luther Burden, and I'm sorry if you're like a longtime listener in the show, because you're absolutely probably tired of this guy. But like, let me just I'll be quick. I'm just gonna lay out the facts here, and I'm not gonna talk too much, because Jesus Christ, folks, you know how I stand. So let's look at the facts. Luther Burden finishes the wide receiver 50 last season, played a third of his team snaps. He had 2 elite weeks, maybe 4 usable weeks total. Never once earned double-digit targets in a game. That's the resume that people are buying at a premium now as a top 20, top 24 wide receiver. It's ridiculous. I don't get it, right? He's just not a guy. I didn't see it as a prospect. Didn't honestly see it majority of the season last season. Bad route runner. Route tree's limited. I think his focus comes and goes. If you look at some Caleb Williams interceptions that you're like, Jesus, Caleb, what are you throwing to? Well, look what Luther Burden was doing, probably running the wrong route. So I'm out, man. I have no interest. He's a massive sell. He's been a massive sell. He continues to be a massive sell for me. Like, Luther Burden to me is like wide receiver 33, you know, that kind of range. Like, he was wide receiver 50 last season. I think he would do well for himself to be like a low end to a mid range wide receiver 3 this season, truly. Colson Loveland, I believe, will be the alpha in this offense. And I'd rather have Roma Dunze. It's going to be a very balanced offense. So they're going to run the ball a lot. And when they're not, I think he's like, there's just not going to be a lot left over for Burden. Sure, could he, you know, your classic trope, better football player than fantasy? Sure. Like, I'll take that if we want to, you know, I'll concede that if we need to. So, yeah, I mean, if you have Burden on your roster, like, get out there and sell. What's he sitting at a keep trade cut? Like, let's keep poking the bear here. What's he sitting at a keep trade cut here, Herm?
Yeah, this is where it starts to get interesting for me, because there are a lot of names around him that I am just so much more clearly interested in than Luther Burden. So directly above him, the two spots ahead, Luther Burden himself sits at wide receiver 19. At 18, at 18 is Jordan Tyson. The name ahead of him at 17 is Ladd McConkey. I've talked a little bit about my enthusiasm for him and the Chargers. We'll have other opportunities to get into that in future episodes as well. But then below him are the two Eagles guys, at Devontae Smith at 20 and Mekhi Lemon at 21. all of those people I would much rather have than Luther Burden. Like, and again, to reiterate, I brought this up before, but people always talk about that. Like, look at the yards per route run. Look at the, like, historic.
Not enough routes. Not enough routes. Not enough routes.
It's so, it's like statistics 101, baby. The sample size is too small. So I hate it. I hate it so much. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Any of those names more appealing to you? I'm sure the answer is yes. Actually, Chris Olave at 15 is not that much out of the ballpark. That'd be fun.
Under him, I'd rather have Devonta Smith. I'd rather have Marvin Harrison Jr., T. Higgins. Zay Flowers is an interesting one that I'd be like, that could be close for me. I mean, there's a lot of names down this list that I'm like, you know, Rashee Rice before the knee and the jail obviously would have been there. I think Jameson Williams is interesting. Like, I just have such little interest in this. I don't think he's very talented. He hasn't shown enough. People are just propping it up on it. It is, they're wish casting. This hype is built on nothing. Let's turn the page. The people have heard enough terms.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And luckily, our next name on the list is probably going to be a pretty quick discussion, too, just because we don't know if he's going to even play that much on offense in 2026. Travis Hunter, uber talented guy, two-way player at Colorado. You've heard of him. It was a whole thing. I'm sure everybody is already pretty tuned into what's going on with that situation. But the question is simple. What do you do with Travis Hunter if we don't know where he's going to play on the football field?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a single share of Travis Hunter, so that works out well for me. But I'll be honest with you. I know he's talented, right? I was fading him largely in the assumption that he'd be a defensive player. You know, I was wrong to some regard, but then I was right. I mean, it sucks because, like, as he just started breaking out on offense, like, literally had one breakout game week 7 versus the Rams, 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown, and then he was done. He was hurt. And he's got great football instincts, man. I think he can really play wide receiver. So for me, he's a player, like, to be honest with you, in redraft, I have no interest. But in Dynasty, like, I think there's worse things you can do with a second round pick. I'm not moving like my 2027 second round for him, but like this season, if I was sitting with like, it's in hindsight, maybe even had your rookie draft yet. There's not a lot of players I like in the middle of the second round. I'd rather just grab Travis Hunter and toss him on my bench and bet on the talent and see what happens. Like, he's a young player. He's a talented player. We don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future. Like, I think that we don't have interest in 2026. That I feel good about. But I also believe him to be much more talented than pretty much anything you can get with a second round pick. So I actually don't mind the idea of kind of grabbing him and sitting on your bench if you have a surplus of seconds, or, you know, you're just not excited about any of the talent in this year's class and you haven't had your rookie draft yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as much as hyperbole isn't the most helpful thing in the world, especially when it comes to fantasy football, you look at what you can get in the second round with that pick. You could either get one of these guys in this weird, ambiguous water on whatever strange NFL roster situation they're in, or you could take a chance on the football equivalent of Shohei Ohtani. Like, a guy who is simply that good at playing football that he can do both things. Like, you always take chances on that. So, yeah, you know what? I think that's a good call. Even if it does take a long time for it to play out, that's the fun thing about Dynasty, is that it is technically forever, or at least until the league folds. But before we get into our next thing, I did just want to point out one interesting observation. So Travis Hunter had his only big breakout game against the Los Angeles Rams. When we were talking about Egbuka before and how things were kind of messy after Baker Mayfield got hurt, the game where he hurt his shoulder and got sandwiched by those two defenders was against the Los Angeles Rams. And we talked about them at the beginning of the show. What a fun through line. It's all coming back to the Rams today on the Crossing Routes podcast. What a time to be alive. I will hand it over to you. Get out whatever information the folks have to hear before we close.
I don't got anything this time, Herms, man. I'm ready to ride. I feel like I've talked too much about Luther Burden. Yeah, go out there, make some trades. We got some good NFL news. Football is here. Football feels back. It is June. In my mind, June hits redraft season. Redraft content is flowing. Got a lot of articles out. I mean, all the ranks are up, the best ball ranks, the dynasty ranks, the rookie ranks, the redraft ranks. Everything is live. We're getting weekly updates.
So when the ranks are live, Herms, football's back in my world. So let's ride, man.
Ah, fair enough. And if you want to see Tyler's thoughts on some guys like Matthew Golden with the Packers, Jack Besh with the Las Vegas Raiders, and a handful of others, please follow the link that I have put for everybody in the description over to ftnfantasy.com. Check it out for sure. Check out my fantasy face-off series that is still, you know, coming out with new additions every single week. I think by the time that you're hearing this, it will be the day before my next one comes out, talking about some running backs that I think are kind of interesting. But you know, you get tons of great content through FTN Fantasy. Always a good time and always fun to podcast with you here on the Crossing Routes podcast. But we have to get out of here. We will talk about the second year tight ends next week. And until that time, adios. Goodbye, everybody. Think about it before we go, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.